What's up, iRaiders? Welcome to episode 10 of iRations, The Uplifter. My name is Drake Peterson, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is our weekly podcast. We are here on all podcast platforms every single week to raise your spirits, answer some questions, talk music, talk shop, and of course, talk all things iRation. Today's episode is all about the song Chill Out. We're going to take apart the song piece by piece and figure out how the song was made. But before we get to that, we cannot go on another second without addressing what is going on in this country. A huge part of our community is in pain, and MB made a little post the other day on the iRation page. MB, I want to pass this over to you so you can give us a little talk.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, you can check it out from a few days ago. But to sum it up and kind of, you know, solidify what the band feels as a whole, you know, the fact of the matter is racism is a problem in this country. We've heard it from a lot of our fans. Some of us may have experienced it. Some of us may have not. Not everybody who's white and understands may have experienced it, and that's maybe why that they don't realize that it's as much of a problem as it is. And, you know, social media is super important these days to getting stories out. Not every news publication or outlet, you know, gives a fair, balanced view of what's going on. So social media can be important for people to see things that are actually happening and also voice their solidarity or, you know, make sure that everybody knows what side they're on as far as their beliefs go. And I think, you know, a lot of people are getting distracted from the real message. And the real message is there is a problem and we need to fix it. And it's on all of us to look within ourselves to see what we can do to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, whether that's educating yourself and your networks, whether that's taking a second look at your own actions, whether that's just being a voice of, you know, support for others that you know have been suffering and just asking what you can do. You know, there's a lot of different lanes. This isn't a one lane road. You know, there's a lot of different avenues people can do. There's people that are peacefully protesting. There's people that are advocating. There's people that are educating. So whatever it is you feel you can do and contribute to the solution is what you should do. And we as a band felt at least voicing our opposition to the negativity that's going on and trying to spread love, spread aloha, and, you know, try to be part of the solution. That's basically, it's as simple as that. Don't get distracted from all the agitators and disruptors. Try to stay on message, try to stay focused on the real problems and what we can all do.
It's now time for a new segment called Sample This, where we take one iRation song and break it down. In this segment, you will be hearing samples, segments, and sound clips from the original studio version. Today, I have lead singer Micah Pouchel and guitarist Micah Brown to talk about the song Chill Out. So Chill Out is going to be on this upcoming album, Coastin'. It was released on June 28th, 2019. Poosh, you were quoted saying, Chill Out is a song about feeling comfortable in your own skin. So many people today are out there trying to be something that they aren't. And we wanted to make a song that tells people that it's okay to be you. It's okay to be different. As long as you accept yourself, you can always get through it. Can we talk a little bit about how this song started?
I think the song started with Dave and a session that we did together. I think it came right after we kind of decided to start writing for, you know, this new album. It was one of the first songs that we did. And I think I had the chords on electric, or not electric, but on my acoustic. And I think I just had chords. I don't think I had any sort of song or anything like that, or any top line or anything else. I think it was just a kind of a chord progression. And I brought it to Dave, and that's generally how a lot of stuff starts from the in terms of that. Either I have a start, or MB has a start, or somebody else has a start or chords or whatever, and then we kind of bring it to Dave, and then we can kind of put it into a demo form, a beat of sorts, so that it's just easier to write over and to edit and to like kind of get the song moving. so that everybody's on the same page as well. And so, yeah, I brought it to him and we kind of worked through it. And at the time I was listening to a lot of kind of Tom Misch, jazzy stuff, things that were funky and kind of old school. And it just, you know, I just liked that progression a lot. And it just, that's how it started. And we kind of built a beat from there.
And what about the words chill out? Was this something that came towards the beginning that you knew this was going to be called chill out, or did that come more towards the end?
I think it came right towards the beginning. I think we called it chill out because I think I wanted to do a song that was like, I think the whole vibe of the songwriting process at that time was kind of doing stuff that was chill, so, like chilled music and stuff that was kind of almost like zenny and like a mantra type stuff where you'd listen to it like in a yoga studio or something like that. But I think that inspiration was just like stuff that I was listening to that really made me feel like relaxed, made me feel you could kind of sink into a vibe and just it felt lush and it almost felt more like a textural thing and like a vibe than it did like a straightforward song.
MB, let's talk a little bit about the guitar tones on this.
I think Poosh recorded like the rhythm chanks that he plays live. A lot of times we kind of stick to what we're going to do live in the studio as well. That way it's, you know, there's a nice balance between both of our tones. So nothing's kind of redundant. This one, yeah, I think I came along in the creative process a little later on this song. I think like Micah said, him and Dave had fleshed out the chords and the arrangement and even lyrics at that point before I kind of got involved on this one. But there was a lot of space, you know. I think, like he said, it was a vibey-er track, and I wanted to keep that funky vibe going with the guitar and playing off of the bass line that they had already laid down. So there's, you know, there's not a lot of chordal movement. I think it's, so there's a lot of space for riffs and stuff, but also not wanting to step on too much. So I think I, you know, the tone first was kind of like that Les Paul classic funky neck pickup, not too shrill, kind of warm, balanced sound, and just coming up with a riff that sat in there and supported the bass line basically and the chords was kind of my approach on it.
Poosh, what was the approach for the beat, the overall like drum rhythm?
I think it was just, like I said, I think it was just trying to stay in kind of a like a more mellow mood with it. I think it was that feeling of wanting to be able to kind of groove and sit back in a little bit more of a pockety kind of reggae groove. So I think that was kind of the inspiration was, okay, let's try and make a song that is lush, sits in a vibe, has a pocket, a reggae pocket. So we're not going too far out of our own world. We're not making, you know, like trip hop or like something else. And I think that's, you know, we kind of, the way that reggae moves a lot is that you kind of stay in the same chordage. And you either shift the pocket, you shift the bass line, shift the drum beat slightly, or the kick pattern, or the rhythms. You know, you can kind of, it's open for lots of different ways where you can change it without having to change the chordage. So we just stayed in that chord, in those chords for the most part, and then we just kind of made that pocket. And yeah, and you know, just to go back on what MB was saying, when he was cutting, I remember we were actually in sound design, and he was kind of just like tooling around with some stuff. And some sounds and some things, and he kind of came upon that like funky little like riff on the hook, and it to me what it sounded like was Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like that was like the first thing that I thought of was Chili Peppers and that like kind of frusciante and that frusciante funk, you know, rock, alternative rock type sound, and I really liked that.
Talk about how you start with the hook.
I think in general, in songwriting, just as an overall songwriting kind of technique, I think you generally want to start with the hook, just because if you don't have a hook, you don't really have a song anyway. I mean, you can, there's obviously, you know, it's not a steadfast rule. You can start with the verse and build from there and kind of develop the story and then hope that you kind of get to a hook. Otherwise, it's kind of rolling the dice a little bit. If you put in a lot of work on your verse, thinking through a thought process, and then you get to the hook and it's like you can't put it together or you can't, you know, melodically or lyrically, you can't bring the story together at that point. It's tough. It's much easier to build a hook and then work backwards from there, story wise, or, you know, whatever the point you're trying to make with the, with, you know, the hook, with the point of the song, obviously. So, I think we did start with the hook. I think we started with that phrase, chill out. And, I think I just was in a place where, you know, we were talking about, I watching the news. It was right during the kind of, you know, the whole election process and all of that stuff was happening when we started to write it. And it was just going through the whole political thing. And I think I was just in a place where I felt like, you know, there's all this BS going on, you know, in the news and gaslighting and things like that, that are happening online. And I was just kind of like, you know, all these people that it seemed like on the news that were just being kind of fraudulent and being fake and, you know, it was just came from a place of, it did come from a somewhat of a place of like, all right, we've had enough. Like everybody just needs to chill out. But it also came from a place of like, you know, talking to myself, talking to, you know, the people that obviously people out there that feel like they need to go and act like a tough guy or act like a bad boy on, you know, with Twitter fingers, you know, getting their Twitter fingers hot. So yeah, it was just a mixture of all those things. And we kind of, you know, I tend to leave the topics, you know, open-ended so that people can take them for however they want to. But that was the general inspiration.
What about the line, I want to drink until your glass is full?
I want to drink until your glass is full.
That line was, Dave was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Don't you mean you want to say like, you know, what are you trying to say there? And I was like, well, what I'm saying is like, I got to the point where let's just drink until your glass is full, but meaning like you're more optimistic. So it's like, I want to drink until you feel better about, let's just drink until you feel better about the world. You know, basically like you feel more optimistic, your glass half full instead of half empty, I should say. So it's kind of a weird play on words, but that's what I meant. It was like, you're looking at your glass, it's half full, half empty. Now you're looking at it like it's full because you're just drinking your cares away, essentially. It's making me want to drink my cares away.
It's like Peter Griffin in Family Guy. Let's drink until we can't feel feelings anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
MB, what about all background vocals? Having two singers in a band is great because you guys can collaborate. What did you do for this song?
I think... yeah, all the harmonies, obviously, was the first thing I did. And then I think after a couple sessions, sitting with the song, still feeling like there was a lot of space, is when I came back and showed David, our producer, and Micah kind of the idea for the bridge, chill out repeaters.
Chill out, chill out, chill out.
Just kind of adding that soft textural, making it more chill sounding, you know, really was the goal. And obviously, you know, just adding another hooky melody into the song where there wasn't where there was space for it. That was really the approach. And then we were able to, you know, add that to the outro as well. So it was kind of a cool thing that happens twice instead of just happening on the bridge. But I think those backups go along well with your horn line, you know. It kind of just makes the song take a turn after that second chorus and gives you, the listener, a new sound to latch onto for the rest of the song. But yeah, it was basically just trying to add that kind of a little more texture, a little more melody to the second half of the song and give it a lift.
I think what MB is, one of his biggest strengths doing is doing that kind of thing, is doing the harmonies and doing and finding an alternate melody and a hook that makes it, because I when I'm singing and I'm on in a song, I'm like locked into the hook, you know, I'm locked into that like lead melody and trying to just play basically off of that main melody, main top line. And I think one of MB's strengths is that he's like able to hear alternate, you know, melodies that come off of that. It's almost like a guitar player technique, but you're doing it vocally where you're like hearing the main line and then you're like riffing on top of that.
And also reinforcing some of those lesser prominent melodies, like the kind of the turnarounds, like the, you know, like those little lead in melodies that are kind of filling gaps. But if you put some three part harmonies on them, it just, it adds out the overall kind of hookiness of a song, which is fun. I think the cool thing about Chill Out 2 on the vocals is we had some kind of synth effect on some of those vocals. That gave it a almost like a kind of an edgier sound, you know, that are super tucked in, but it just kind of, it's almost subconscious, the feeling of it. But if you really pinpoint some of those vocals, the backup vocals have like a synth effect on them, which is kind of cool.
What about the bass line?
I think the bass line, I think it was, we kind of had a basic bass line on that song. And then when we got in the studio, which is, you know, sometimes is the case whenever we have, if Dave and I are an MB or whatever, or one of us comes up with a demo or something, there's generally a bass line there. And then we'll probably go back and revisit it when we cut it and try to either improve on it or just make it a little bit, you know, make it slightly change it to just to fit the song where at that point, because usually the demo, whatever happens in the demo changes when you start cutting live instruments, you know, things just change, tones change. So I think we had a bass line, but I think we added that like a little bit of, I think we added like a little bit of some accents and some slidey stuff that boom, 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 boom. And it was Adam's kind of deal from that point on.
You know anything about any of the keyboard lines or anything like that? All the synths, or is that just all kind of Dave stuff?
I mean, there's a lot of Dave stuff that started off. I think when Kaysen may have cut some Rhodes.
I think tonally, though, for synth and keys, it was like keeping it kind of throwbacky, you know, but yeah, with a modern twist. Like nothing too out of this world synthy wise. Just something that sounds vintage and analog, and like it was made in the 70s or 80s or something, and sticking in that kind of vein, which also, you know, was a kind of an overarching theme of the whole album, was classic tones, you know.
Yeah.
The classic tones. I remember you guys were obsessed with Tom Misch and John Mayer. I remember we were in Alaska and you guys were just playing all that Tom Misch stuff. And there was one song that has like a muted trumpet solo. And I think that definitely influenced the fact that you wanted to have a trumpet solo on this.
I kind of do remember when I like kind of had that thought though. And I just told Dave, and he was just, you know, as Dave is in the beginning with horn stuff, he's kind of like, and I was like, no, I think it'll sound sick, dude. Like muted trumpet, I'll give it that, like, you know, that jazz club in the like 60s feel from like in like Paris. You know
yeah,
what I
so
mean?
I used a Harmon mute on this without the stem, and we mic'd it super close. So it had, you just got mostly tone and nice and big fat sound, and it definitely worked. You just put a ton of reverb on it. Sounds really cool.
Nothing irks Drake more than like Dave giving him a side eye about some horns.
he pushes back so hard whenever we want to put horns in it.
He has different feelings like that are just inherent towards what horns do in a song than what I think I do, at least. I don't know about you guys, but like obviously yeah. You Drake, but like I think growing up listening to like reggae and listening to like, you know, Chicago and shit on the radio, like when I was a kid, my mom's taste in music, I don't have that. And like even Michael Jackson, like I don't have those like connotations that maybe he does. Like, but yeah, like for me, and now that with the fact that we have a horn section, it's like it doesn't seem like weird to, you know, obviously I'm not, you don't have to force it onto a song, but it's like it doesn't seem weird if you do put a horn on a song, like in a section, or I always like that. I always like when a horn kind of comes in out of nowhere, like midway through a song, and like lifts it, and you're like, whoa, like that's sick. You know, Quincy does that all the time on Michael Jackson songs, and you're like, holy shit, that's sick. And even on Bob.
Yeah, I think your solo, the intro of it is really cool. It like instantly puts you in like a smoky jazz club or something, like with that intro line that you do.
Thank you.
On this one, I can't remember. Did Tony cut or did you cut all of the horns?
I think Drake cut them all.
I cut them all, but then Tony did come in and added some stuff.
Some pads.
He came in, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think when Chill Out basically is just about, you know, being okay with, you know, it's like being okay with yourself and just going back to step one, going back to basics. When I say be natural, it just means be your natural self. Like, don't be afraid of who you are. Don't be afraid of, like, what you're made of. And don't feel like you have to go on the internet and be somebody that you're not, or pretend to be tough, or pretend to be, you know, something that you aren't. I think that's just the general vibe of the song. And it's not trying to be preachy. It's just trying to be, you know, we're all in this together. Like, I want to see everyone be themselves. I want to see people unafraid to be who they are, like, in general. And I think that's, you know, what Chill Out it really is about. Chill out.
Stuck into your blood boil, sweat drenched, dripping in the turmoil. Likely to make
next up, we're going to be adding Joe, Kaysen, and Adam to the mix, and we are going to be answering some fan questions that have been submitted to our hotline. If you want to have a chance to get your question read and answered on the air, text or call us anytime at 805-225-6886. Again, that's 805-225-6886. Our first question comes from a texter, and she says, I would love to hear more about your lives when you are on tour. You have touched upon it in some past episodes, which has piqued my curiosity. Is touring all driving, then setup, then rehearsal, then VIP, then show, then repeat? Or is there some time to get out and see all the cities you visit? Adam?
Yeah, so for me, I think, you know, I wake up, you wake up in the bunk area, kind of saunter into the front lounge, and usually wrestle up a little breakfast, which for me can be, you know, either a smoothie, maybe yogurt, cereal, something like that. Obviously, coffee is important. There's usually a bit of a scramble to make sure the pot of coffee is consumed, because there's usually enough for the first three people, and then the second pot must be made. After that, usually a sound check comes, followed by the VIP meet and greet. And then after that, usually we like to do a little exercise. Sometimes there's time before sound check where Drake and I usually will go on a bike ride with our folding bikes, or maybe some yoga. If we're by a beach or a park, maybe some soccer with Case. I think everyone has their own little exercise things they like to do. After sound check, we usually, that's kind of when I like to have my kind of one meal out, and you check Yelp, see what's hot in the streets in the city we're in. And then kind of just go back on the bus. We watch movies, kind of just hang with the crew, the show. And then after the show, it's kind of a scramble for some post-show nacho, maybe a pizza, whatever's in the freezer. And then you kind of hit the bunk and wake up and you're in the next city and it's Groundhog Day. You do it again.
Kaysen, what happens on days off?
Days off. Those are the days for activities. We kind of try to decide as to where we are, what we're gonna do. You know, we've done everything from surfing river waves to golfing to, you know, just biking around the city, going to some good restaurants. That's one thing we usually like to do on an off day, is have a band dinner, and we usually like to do some Yelp research and find the best spot in the city and see if we can get a reservation for about 20 people. And then, yeah, we go and order everything on the menu and about 20 bottles of wine, and have a good old time. Get the crew all psyched up, get them all hyphy.
It's all about morale, you know. You got to boost that morale every so often.
Yeah, get the crew morale boosted. I think the off days are crucial for our overall just sort of mental state, because as Adam said, it can kind of seem like Groundhog Day when you're doing the same thing over and over, and then you get one or two days off and it's like a brief reprieve from, you know, having to be up late at night and doing, you know, dealing with the stress of the show and all that. So it's a nice time to just sort of kick back and relax, you know. Sometimes that could just be sitting on the bus and not doing anything, you know, playing some Mario Kart or making some chos, as Adam said. But yeah, off days.
Let's go through everyone and see what their favorite city to have a day off is. Joe?
All right, favorite city to have a day off in? I'd probably have to say Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville Beach. It's in Florida, on the Florida's East Coast. There's a good restaurant there, North Beach Fish Camp. Love it. All the boys can agree with me on that. And we have some good family friends out there that take us surfing, take us on the ocean. You know, we go to their house and relax, do laundry, regroup. They cook us a home-cooked meal or lunch or whatever, and spend our day at the beach, just like Kay said. And it's, like, pretty much always beautiful. And it's, yeah, I love it there because it's, like, pretty much everything you want on a day off. Like, you get exercise, you get sun, and eat a good meal, get good vibes from family, friends, and you're pretty much charged for the next week of shows after that.
That is also my favorite place to visit, too, especially because they have $2 beers and the water is super warm. MB, what about you?
I think another spot that's very similar to Atlantic Beach would be Carolina Beach, which is kind of near Wilmington, North Carolina. And I just feel like North Carolina and Florida are two spots in particular on the East Coast that feel a little closer to home for all of us, whether it reminds you of Hawaii or California. Those two spots are always kind of a place, a target for us to spend time if we have multiple days off, just because there's beach, there's golf, there's good food, and everybody's not really trying to get super turnt on days off. So it's like, it's a nice mellow vibe right by the ocean. You know, it's not like, cities are fun too though, you know, like sometimes New York City or Chicago is like a really fun place to have a day off, just because you can just go get lost and wander around and have a chance to explore some place that has such a huge plethora of things to do. So both vibes are cool.
Poosh?
Yeah, I would say I love all those places. I think we're all in agreement that those are awesome places to be. I think everyone's happy when you're on the coast, just because surfers can surf, golfers can golf, everybody else can do whatever they want to do. MB mentioned New York. I really love, we had a couple days off there a couple years ago, and I really enjoyed that. In Brooklyn, we stayed in Brooklyn and chilled. But I'm going to go with opposite coast and say Bend, Oregon. Really like Bend. Really like the Pacific Northwest during the summertime, especially just because it's like, you know, the water, you can get in the water, you can get in the lakes, rivers, streams, do some floating. The golf is also amazing, you know, big for us golfers. And the food is great and other things are legal. So that's also fun and easy to deal with. So it's like Bend, Oregon, just a really beautiful place. It's kind of up at elevation, kind of in the middle of, you know, a lot of beautiful surrounding forest and high desert zone. So yeah, I'm going with Bend.
Kaysen?
This is a very tough question because I love so many places all around the country. But I would have to say maybe Hawaii, because although I've been here for a while and, you know, spend a lot of time here, it's unique when everybody's here together, including our crew, and we can give them the inside perspective as to the things to do. And we always go out of our way to try and, you know, do fun stuff here that we know about because, you know, we grew up here and we know the fun stuff to do. So yeah, we try to bring the crew along, and you know, Drake will get a Mai Tai and get super sunburn, and you know, most of the crew will get really
sunburn. Watch,
I think last time we were
Lenny will be shivering with night sweats.
Yeah, last time we played a show over on Oahu, Cullen, our lighting designer decided to go to the beach on an absolutely sweltering day in Hawaii all day. And we went to dinner that night, and he looked like he was running a fever, cold sweats.
Well, you've seen the movie Powder, right?
Poor little fella.
We warned him.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad scene.
We warned him. I swear to God, I told him, I'm like, dude, make sure you guys wear sunscreen. Like, it's not a joke. Like, we're not just messing with you. It's not just something that the tourists do. Like, everyone wears sunscreen. Like, don't mess around. And he just thought we were like messing with him. He's like, I'm sunscreen.
Yeah, I'm from Arizona, man. Next thing you know, third degree sunburn, peeling, tweaked.
He got the blowtorch.
Adam, what about you?
Well, I'm definitely in agreement with all the ones the guys listed. I love the big cities. I love the beach cities like Wilmington and Carolina Beach, Jack's Beach. I love places like Austin where we go in the water and then you also have a really fun city. But I'm going to say I really like Lake Tahoe. In the summertime, it's really fun. We go out on the lake and the shows are always good. There's lots to do kind of right around the casino area. And then obviously in the wintertime, you can hit the mountain, there's snow. And I think the shows are always really fun there. We have a lot of friends in that area. But yeah, I definitely agree with the guys. All the places they listed are some of our favorites.
Yeah, I back you on that one, Adam. Tahoe is pretty awesome. I have a lot of family there, so that's probably second on my
list.
He
really likes skiing on the lake.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta love skiing on the lake.
We have one more fan question. They ask, what does the inside of a tour bus look like?
Messy.
Poosh?
There's a bus invaders episode on YouTube that we did years ago. That not our current bus, it was an older bus, but it's basically you walk in, there's a driver's kind of zone in the front, and then there's a partition, and there's what we call the front lounge, which is basically like a table for like a two-seater table. And then two kind of long bench sofas and a kitchen area, sink, a bathroom for Mickey number one only. And there's like a little kitchenette area, freezer and a refrigerator. And then there's coolers. There's kind of these coolers that we have in buses where you put all the beer and soda and water, and not necessarily water, but all the other beverages that need to be refrigerated, and then you cover them in ice. So they have a drain that goes out of the bus. Those are cool, people. The trash chute is underneath. You throw your trash into a chute, and it goes underneath the bus. People are always kind of fascinated with that kind of stuff about bus living. And then when you go out of that lounge, you go into the bunk area where everybody sleeps, and it's kind of stacks bunks. In our bus, we have them set up, so they're called what they call condos, which is two in each little section. There's two bunks, so it's two. There's eight total bunks. In most buses, there's 12, I believe. So, right, 12. Yeah. So there's 12. So there's four areas of three bunks, which is a little bit tighter, but it actually is not that bad. And then and then you go through there, and there's another back lounge with a TV and another table sometimes, or just sofas, and then some closet space and drawers. So that's basically it. But people are always amazed that it's as big as it is when you get inside of it, because you kind of see it and you're like, oh, that must be tough. And then you get inside and it feels very roomy. We are lucky enough to have a bus that pops out in the front lounge. So when we get to the places where we're parked, it opens up like an RV does, and it feels a lot more livable in the front lounge space and a lot more spacious. And obviously now it's just the band and Colin in our buses that it feels a lot even more roomy, because there's not 12 people packed into there, and you're kind of negotiating around everybody everywhere you want to walk. So yeah, that's a basic bus setup. I'm pretty much all buses are like that. So
yeah, and I think everybody has their own little zone. Like, you know, Jody likes to be in the back lounge and he's got his drum pad to warm up before the show. Poosh likes to game back there. I kind of like to hang out in the bunk area and just, you know, watch movies on my iPad sometimes during kind of the downtime before the show. Front lounge, you know, you usually got Colin hanging out in the kitchen making some kind of snack. Kaysen, too, is always snacking. And then you've got the kind of movie area in the front lounge, so there's always, like, some kind of show on. Golf Channel or Naked and Afraid, what have you.
Mario Kart. Lots of Mario Kart.
Bus parking, too, plays a huge role on the entire day. You know, I think parking is sometimes a heated debate. Is it a walkable zone?
Walkability.
Walkability.
But also, you know, if you park somewhere and the satellite is not working, or you know, you can't pop out, like nothing worse than waking up and realizing, oh, we can't pop today. So it's like you're used to this extra 4 feet of space to just move around, and then it's like you're cramped. It's like you're pretty cramped when it's not popped out. So sometimes the parking can make or break your day, you know, especially at cool venues and on some of those summer tours when there's like a really cool backstage area or like a cool view of the audience from the bus where you can kind of people watch and be hidden behind the tinted window. Or sometimes we're parked right in the front of the front door of a venue and there's just like prime people watching opportunities. So it's always different, but that's always kind of a underrated aspect of tour life is like the parking spot and the situation where the bus is. And
yeah, just to touch on that, just to follow up, the Bus Invaders episode that we did on YouTube, we're parked in the basement of the Chicago House of Blues, which if anybody's been there, they know that it's like one of the worst possible places to have your bus parked. They have bus parking there, and we have had it where we had like 2 days off in Chicago. We did it when we toured with Pepper last summer. We had 2 days off in Chicago, and they're basically, it's really hard to park a tour bus in the cities like that. So we stayed underneath the basement, and it's this like disgusting mud. It's all like dirt on the ground, and there's like freaking rats everywhere running around. There's like grease traps, and like it's just gross. It's like subterranean Chicago. It's all dark. There's no, you don't get any sunlight down there, and there's no, you don't get any satellite for the bus. So you can't like watch TV or anything like that. So you're just like feel like trapped in there. And then like the opposite would be when we were in Bend, what I was mentioning earlier. At Les Schwab Amphitheater, there with Slightly Stupid, you're parked behind the venue. There's a river running directly to your left. It's like gorgeous. It's an outdoor venue on a lawn. We literally floated down the river for like an hour and then got out. There's a standard wave there in the river where you can surf, and then you can walk straight back to the bus. It's like 150 yards to the bus. So it's like those are like the two kind of like opposite ends of the spectrum. You're either in the basement of the House of Blues Chicago, or you're like, you know, backstage at Les Schwab.
And most importantly, a actual bathroom and shower within like, you know, 100 yards of the bus. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing about Chicago is when you have to go inside, you have to wait for somebody to open the door, which is their security guard. It's always locked. And then you have to climb like 55 flights of stairs to get to your dressing room. And there's no elevator. So it's like, if you go upstairs and you forget something, you're like, oh my God, I left my like shoe or something downstairs in my backpack. Like you have to go back down like 25 flights of stairs and come back up again. So you're like, always get to the top. Everybody gets to the top of the stairs and they're always just like, I just gotta use the bathroom.
And you have to battle a gang of rats on the way out.
There's nothing worse than when the bus is parked at a slant. And it's like, every time you want to go to your bunk, you just have to like walk. You have to walk
uphill. You have to hike to your bunk.
Just like
walkability, man. Walkability.
Nashville, you can pass
orange. Yep, Nashville. I think I passed Adam an orange from the back lounge all the way to the front lounge. Just dropped it on the floor. Just rolled all the way down.
Well, that first night too, my girlfriend had stowed away, and so we did a top and tail in the bunk. So my head was actually facing the front of the bus, but we were parked on a slant. So the driver's side was down. And when I had woken up, all the blood had like rushed to my head, and I woke up so dizzy and confused. And we had actually just argued about whether we wanted to park in East Nashville by the venue, or Micah wanted to park a few miles out. And then it just ended up being a whole snafu. But you know,
when everybody woke up with like all the with like feet double the size of their normal size, because all the blood was in their feet.
Yeah,
and then everyone's like, "Well,
I can't walk though."
2 weeks, 2 weeks later, a tornado came and wiped the venue out. So it's all for naught.
Poosh, you've been doing a lot of Twitch stream. Can you tell all of the listeners about what you're doing?
Yeah. So if you guys follow me and you're seeing on Iration on the Instagram, recently built a PC, built a computer, and We've been doing live stream gaming. Obviously going to open it up. I just built the computer. I've only used it a couple times to stream, but the idea is that opening our Twitch channel up to some more content and just ways for people to connect. Been gaming, playing some Call of Duty or Modern Warfare, and doing some, probably in the future, doing some other games. The idea is to kind of connect with some of our fans, connect to some of our friends that are in the music world, in sports world, and also to do some live stream music, maybe some acoustic tutorials, acoustic performances, and kind of do it all through the Twitch. We're just trying to open up a different format for people to connect. We like the Twitch format because it's a little bit more interactive. It stays up so people can rewatch it, and it's just a better quality of stream. So yeah, if you are into that type of thing, or you are interested in further delving in or connecting, we're going to do some things in the future. I think once everybody gets a little bit more dialed in, I get it more dialed in personally. Come join us at twitch.tv/iration live. We've already had a really, really great response so far, and a lot of guys that are there all the time. If you're a gamer, you might as well, if you play any of those games, you might as well come check it out, because if you subscribe to the channel, you get to, I will get you into the game, play some squads. You get to play with guys like Lenny, the aforementioned Leonard, the sunburned guy from Hawaii, our lighting director, Tony Trombone, our trombonist, is going to join us, some athletes that I've been playing with, and other musicians. So yeah. Come check it out, Twitch.
Poosh, what's your gaming skill level like these days?
It's getting better. I'm probably out of a 10, I'm probably like a 6.5, maybe getting there. Maybe like a D, D plus.
So if you want to gang up,
I'm like a 1.5. So
yeah, you guys can. Yeah, it's fun because it's like, a lot of these, I've been able to connect with a lot of guys, and these guys, there's guys that are watching that have been following us since like some of our very first shows ever. Like, we had a guy on there that was like, yeah, I saw you guys at Toad's Tavern in
no
Colorado.
Way. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, that's literally the first show we ever played in Colorado in like 2008, '09. And it was in front of like maybe 20 people at the most. So like, he was one of those 20 people. He's like, I've been following you guys since Toad's Tavern. Like, there's all these instances of guys that have seen us at like shows that were so far back that I'd forgotten about. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. So just a cool way to connect, different way to connect with fans. That's fun for everybody and not as contrived as like a meet and greet where you're like meeting and then they're like having to try to get everything out in like a set amount of time. It's like you're gaming, you're doing something that is a little bit more fun and natural. The conversation is a little bit more open. You can jump in the chat, talk shit to me if you want. I don't care. And yeah, it's fun. It's all good vibes.
Do you guys can you communicate with each other through the headpiece? Like, do you talk?
Yeah. So we're talking through the headsets if we're playing together, and then everyone that's in the chat room is communicating, and like I'm reading the chat as I'm playing, and like people are asking questions or commenting, or they're arguing with each other. It's pretty funny, but like it's just if you're looking for something to watch like at night, I'm usually on at like 9 p.m. ish Pacific Standard Time once the baby's asleep or my mother-in-law comes over to take over for a few hours. That's generally the time. If you're looking for something to fall asleep to, it's fun. You can watch me just kind of geek out. So,
well, thank you all for being here today on Uplifter, and thank you also to all of our listeners. We have made a little something special for you guys, which we are going to play here in just a moment. While quarantining at home, we recorded a little live performance of Chill Out. You can be on the lookout for the video in the next few days. And also, don't forget to subscribe and rate this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast platforms. And remember, when the news gets you down, you can always tune into The Uplifter. See you next week. This
boil, sweat drenched, dripping in the turmoil. Light leads to make another day turn. Better make way. I only want good vibes. Tough talk, where's the sensitivity? Bad boy, see what you're trying to be. Wanna be outlaw, reaching for your holster over and over again. Another letter, no, you were out for blood. Love walking disaster.